All right. Good morning, everybody. Again. Hey, that was pretty pathetic. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, everybody. All right. That's good. Hey, I'm just convinced, like, I see people lose their mind for stupid stuff, right? Like, you see Bieber on the stage, and these girls are freaking out, like, ah! And we come into church, and we're like, give Jesus a golf clap. That crap's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. I think God gave us our emotions. He gave us passions. And I think all of those ultimately should be directed towards him. But that's just my opinion. But I do have the microphone. So what are you going to do with that? So we're continuing and wrapping up our series this week called Wild. And if you've missed any of it, I'll catch you up to speed really quick. Just kind of the premise of the series is this. We were never created to be domesticated, right? You weren't created to live in a box. You weren't created to live within these parameters that other people set for you. You weren't created to do what everybody else is doing because that's what everybody else is doing and it's kind of expected of you. Like, that's not how you were created to live. You were created to live wild. You were created to be this person who doesn't do everything that everybody else is doing just because it's what's societally acceptable. Like, God has placed wild inside of you. He's placed this ability to overcome normal, thank God, right? Because normal kind of stinks if you look at it. Normal is broke. Normal is divorced. Normal is all of these casualties of the society that we live in, right? That's normal, but God has placed in us this wild, and it helps us overcome normal. And so the first week, we just kind of talked about that. Like, we're not supposed to be domesticated Christians. And in the second week, we talked about tame truth and how we like tame truth, right? Because we can control it. And we like to have control or have at least a significant contribution to the overall picture, right? But the truth is that we're on our own, we are helpless. On our own, in fact, I would go the other way with it. Not only are we helpless, but we're harmful. Right. When I think about, like, the best that I have to offer on my best day, when I'm on my A game, it still doesn't measure up. And I still have shortfalls and these pitfalls and these, you know, all of these areas that I could do better in. And so that's kind of the premise of tame truth, is we like to be in control. But the truth that we need is that we're not in control. God is in control. And it's because of Jesus that we have this ability to go to our wild God. And then the next week was Easter's Nacho Libre. Struggling, right? And we just talked about how wild the resurrection is. That's pretty wild, in my opinion. And then last week, we talked about docile discipleship, because I'm a sucker for alliteration. And so we talked about how we need to be in relationships that are wild. They're not shallow. There's some depth to them. We can talk to each other about what's really going on in our lives, and we can ask hard questions and be asked hard questions. Because you know how this works, right? It's like you have so many associates and so many people that you encounter, and it's like, how are you? I'm good. And inside, you're not, right? And there are so few relationships that you have where you can say, hey, I am struggling, or I've got this going on, or I've got this hurt or this betrayal, and you don't have a lot of people that you can confide in, and you need people that you can confide in and talk to. So that's what we've talked about so far. This week, we're going to talk about what, in my opinion, is probably the most important of all of these, because it's kind of ironic. In fact, we'll call it the topic or the title for the message today is Wildin' Out. How many of you are young and hip and know what Wildin' Out is, right? You hear the expression. And so Wildin' Out, if you don't know what it is, I'll just kind of give you an idea. It's like when somebody's out there acting a fool, somebody's, you know, running around being a moron, you know, trying to draw attention to themselves, and they get a lot of attention because of, we have, you know, cameras on every phone. Like, there are literally millions and millions of cameras in America, and so somebody's always going to catch you when you're wilding out, right? And we're just dumb enough to think that when we take pictures and videos that they're just going to disappear. They don't disappear. That's how we have blackmail for you when you get older and you get married and you have children, and we're going to show you all the stupid things you did when you was a kid. So we live in a culture that kind of celebrates when people wild out, when they draw attention to themselves. We live in a culture that celebrates the successes of other people. We live in a culture that emphasizes the highlights of other people's lives, thus the success of social media, right? Like, I mean, when's the last time you posted an ugly picture of yourself on Instagram? We don't do it. And how many do you take until you get the right one? A bunch, because I've seen you. Let me just, this is a pet peeve. This is not biblical. This is just my opinion. But I believe that God is with me on this one. If you're a dude, don't take selfies. You are a dude. Stop taking selfies. If you're a girl, I mean, at least limit them. But if you're a dude, I pulled into the gas station the other day, and I saw a grown man. This guy, and I say grown man, he was probably mid-20s, 25, like he had his fresh fade, you know, and he's, like he posted up outside of the gas station, which probably tells you about the content of his character, and he's posted up, and he's got his lines in his hair, and he pulls out his phone, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are we, go to work. Jeez, stop taking pictures of yourself. Okay, anyway, we live in a culture that is in love with the grandiose things in life. We only celebrate, like we said, the big accomplishments, and we love to look at the highlights of others. But I think one of the wildest things that you can possibly do is be somebody who's faithful, somebody who's committed, somebody who's loyal, somebody who's consistent, somebody who's gonna be here tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Like, that's wild. It's, you know, and this is what we do. We spend, as a society, we spend $27,000 on average on a wedding. Where are they going to be in 5 years? Where are they going to be in 2 years? Much less 20 and 30 years. And you know what's wild? Like, that's what we celebrate, is the $27,000 that we spend on a wedding. It's wild to love your wife or love your husband on year two, on year three, on year four, on year five, and all of the days that make up those years. That's wild. Consistency is wild. Somebody who is loyal to your friends. That's wild. I see so many people, and I see all of these relationships that are fractured because you can't be loyal to somebody, and you can't love them through some of the things that they're going through, and they don't return the favor for you. I just think it's wild to be somebody who is consistent. I think it's wild to be somebody who is loyal. I think it's wild to be a person who is devoted to Jesus day in and day out, week in and week out. Month in and month out, year in and year out, right? Like, I've been in church for a long time now. Well, I mean, like, long for me, maybe not for you. I don't know. We're not going to do the age thing. I always get in trouble when I do that. Open mouth, insert foot. But I've seen so many people come in and they disappear, right? They come in and they're on fire. They're like, man, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I love him. Thank God for all of the things that he's done for me. Look at who I was and look at who I am now. And 2 weeks later, you're back to who you were. And I'm like, what happened? What had happened? And consistency, look, we're not saying you're perfect. We're not saying you got it all together. But we're saying even if you fall down, you get back up and you keep going. And I think consistency is wild. I think wild is doing ordinary things over an extraordinary period of time. Let me say that one more time, right? Wild is doing ordinary things over an extraordinary amount of time. Wild is, hey, you go to work on Monday and you don't feel like it, but you put in the effort because you're working unto God, not unto men, right? You're honoring God with the way that you work and the stewardship that he's given you, these opportunities that he's given you. So you're faithful and you're consistent and you work hard on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and you get back up on Monday the next week and you do the same thing over and over and over again. And you're not just like using every opportunity as a stepping stool onto the next thing. You're not treating every relationship like it's some kind of leverage for you to get into another relationship, right? Because you've seen this. We've all seen it. And stupidly, we kind of celebrate it in our society. But I think consistency should be celebrated. It's doing the little things. Even when it's behind the scenes, even when nobody's going to pat you on the back, it's being faithful in the little things. That's consistent. That is wild, right? Because look, here's the deal. We all like a little adulation, right? We all like a little attaboy, attagirl every once in a while. But if that's what you're living for, you're missing a point, right? And if that's what you're living for, you're going to pursue things that you shouldn't pursue, because if you're looking for gratification all the time, then to me, it shows some deprivation in your soul. Like there's some contentment that's missing, because ultimately our contentment should be in our relationship with God. But that's another story for another day. So being wildly consistent, this is all the setup. This is all the introduction. I am so sorry. I promise we'll get to the meat of this in a minute. You guys got me all excited with the baptism stuff, right? Being wildly consistent, let's transition just a little bit here. Being wildly consistent is praying even when you don't feel like you're getting any answers, right? Because, I mean, let's be honest. How many times, well, I prayed about it like that one time, I prayed about it over and over and over, and I still don't feel like I'm getting any answers, so I just stopped praying about it. But it's praying about it and being consistent in your prayers about it, even when you don't feel like you're getting any answers, or even when you feel like maybe the answer you're getting is not the answer you want, and I'm going to see if I can change God's mind about that, right? being consistent, being wildly consistent, is about reading your Bible even when others treat it like antiquated literature, right? I'm consistent. Look, I don't care what you say. And here's what's so funny. Like, I love science. I love numbers. I love research. I love all of these, and I love quotes more than anything in the world. Well, except for my wife and Jesus and our kids and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Any intangible thing. I love quotes. And so all of these things are important. Science is absolutely important. But how many times has science got it wrong? Right? You know, they used to think the earth was flat. Kyrie Irving still does, apparently. If you know what sports, if you keep up with sports. Anyway, I'm stuck on analogies that are related to sports, so I have a really hard time dealing with people or communicating to people who like shopping, for example. So all of the women in the room, man, I'm sorry, I'm trying. Just take the sports analogy and somehow or another translate it into shopping. Cool? All right, because we've got sports analogies coming. So it's being consistent in reading your Bible, even when others, they don't think it's valuable. There's no value in it. It's being faithful and going to church, even when society treats it like a tradition of the past, right? That's what your grandparents did. But you know what? This is what's so funny. So your grandparents who went to church, statistics say, research shows that your grandparents who go to church, they live longer than folks who don't go to church. Their marriages are more successful than people who don't go to church. Their lives are better and they're happier than people who don't go to church. So maybe your grandparents had it right. And why would we stop doing things if it's working? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I think you're starting to get the idea. You should have came in on that one. That's like, you know, it was crescendo. It was hype. It's too late now. You missed it. If I have to cue you in as to when you should come on with it, then we're missing the point. I think you're starting to get the idea of where we're going with this. Consistency is wild. It's wild. It's crazy. But we don't celebrate it in our society. You're not going to make the 6 o'clock news being consistent. Hey, so-and-so went to work today, even though he didn't feel like it. So-and-so, when he got home from work, he actually made eye contact with his children instead of sitting on the couch and watching 4 hours of TV. Or he went into the you know, whatever field of sports it is that particular season and coached or talked to his wife and vice versa, right? All of these things that are just wildly consistent that we don't celebrate, those are the things that I think if you do it over the course of an extraordinary amount of time, it's wild. It's crazy. And most importantly, it's God-honoring. That's our highest goal and our highest calling. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at some of the elements that are necessary to live a wild life of consistency. And the first one is this. It's available. Being available. In order to see God use us to do big things, to give us the desires of our hearts, to promote us to certain positions, or to have, you know, these moments in our lives that others would probably tend to celebrate, I don't think you get to have these great opportunities or these big moments unless you're faithful and consistent in the small moments, right? Like how many, and I'm going to use basketball as an analogy because it's NBA playoffs and you guys can go with that, right? You see so many of these athletes in the playoffs and they love the big moments. But how many moments have they had in between? How many times have they been at practice? How many shots have they taken? How many hours have they been in the gym and in the weight room trying to get better at what it is they do? So for that 1 second, they can take a shot and maybe win the game, maybe not, but they took the shot. They were in the moment. They were in the game. They had this highlight moment. But all of that was predicated on them being faithful in thousands and thousands and thousands of little moments, right? But that doesn't make the news. That's not the SC Top 10. That's not the things that we talk about. That's not what you go to work the next day and sitting around a water cooler. Man, did you see homeboy at practice yesterday? That was funny. It's cool. And you guys are struggling today. If I had to cue you in on the jokes and I have to cue you in on the climax, I don't understand. So the greatest ability is availability. The greatest ability is availability. And the older you get, I think the more you appreciate this. Because when we're younger, you know what we like? We like superstars. We like shooting stars. We like things that are bright and shiny, right? Squirrels. We love things that are awesome, and we like things that are so incredible, and people who are flashy and people who draw attention to themselves. We're kind of drawn to that. But the older that I've gotten, and I don't know if this is age or just experience. I don't know what the case is. I just like people who I know are going to be there tomorrow. Right, I like people who I know are not using me for me, right? They're not using me to get to somebody else, or they're not using the position that I have to get to a position that they want. I like loyalty. I like consistency a lot more than I like superstars. In fact, I love listening to leadership podcasts. I was listening to a leadership podcast this week, and this guy is extremely successful. Literally, he leads hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, like has staff of hundreds of people, and leads thousands and thousands of people, okay? So he was talking about when you're hiring somebody, you know, kind of the model that I always assumed people did is like you fire up your resume and you send it out to these, you know, all these large companies, and you put your highlights on there, right? Like I went to this school and I made this grade, and then I had this job and I managed this project with millions of dollars under my management, right? And I did all of these things. These are my highlights. But he said he didn't hire anybody outside of the organization. He hires the people within the organization who are faithful, who are consistent, who've proven themselves day in and day out, week in and week out. And that's wild because you're consistent and then the opportunities come. It's kind of like using, again, basketball as the backdrop here. Availability is as closely connected to consistency as any analogy that you can use to explain it, like two peas in a pod, if you will, right? And so I kind of get the, how many of you guys have ever played pickup basketball? How many of you ever played pickup basketball with that guy? Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? That guy. How many of you are that guy? All right. If you didn't raise your hand, you might be that guy. And so you kind of, let's say you got 10 people. We're playing 5 versus 5 in basketball, right? You got 10 people. You pick 2 team captains, and they both kind of go through the lineup, and we're probably going to be middle of the pack. You may get picked up, or maybe you're like Mr. Insignificant. You're the last pick in the draft. And so whatever the case is, everybody's going to get picked to play in the game. But you know what? If you don't show up to the lineup, if you're not out there kind of dribbling and shooting around and perfecting your crossover, you know, I don't have a crossover. It's like a snail pace crossover. It's not very fast. And so if you're not out there, if you don't put yourself out there, if you don't make yourself available, you're not going to get picked to play in the game. If you don't even have your shoes on, man, if you're not ready for the opportunity, you're not going to get picked to play in the game. And the same thing is true with God, and the same thing is true in life. Like, you've got to make yourself available. You've got to be ready. You got to have your Jordans on, or your LeBrons on, or your Steph Curry's on, or whatever shoes it is that you choose to wear. You've got to be ready to play in the game. You got to be stretched up, because as you get old, like, you realize you're going to pull a hammy real fast. Like, I mean, you got to be stretched. You got to be ready, and you stretch when you get up and you do the things that you got to do on Monday, and you're stretching. And you get up and you do the things you got to do on Tuesday, you're stretching. And you do the things you got to do on Wednesday, you're stretching. And then the opportunity comes and you can jump right in. You're ready. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. But you don't do that if you don't make yourself available. We want God to pick us for these big things, these awesome moments and these incredible opportunities. And oftentimes we're not even faithful with the little things that he's given us. Right? And look, this is me preaching to us, right? This is how I experience life sometimes. Like, I want God to do this in my life, and I want God to give me these opportunities. And I don't know that I'm always as faithful as I could be with the little things that he has given me. And it's stupid. It's asinine for us to think that God is going to be consistent and faithful toward us if we're not consistent and faithful toward him. Although sometimes he does, but that destroys the whole argument. We're not going to go that route, right? So making ourselves available is about doing the little things faithfully. It's about being loyal in our relationships. And then when disaster happens in your life or calamity takes place in your life, then the people who you've been loyal to will be loyal to you, right? It's this reciprocal relationship. It's about paying attention to your spouse when you get home from work. And then you get to celebrate your 20th wedding anniversary or your 30th wedding anniversary, and you actually still like each other. Because you've seen these couples, right? They've been married for 50 years, but man, they shouldn't be. I mean, it's a miracle anybody's alive in the relationship. Like, the love may be there, but the like is not there at all. And so I think you get to those highlight moments and those big moments by being faithful in all the little moments in between. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says this: "He who is faithful in very little is faithful also in much." And I love the way it's kind of like, hey, look, if you are faithful over here, then you will be faithful over here. And then the second part of that, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. And I love, and I don't know that this was, I'm sure there's probably some rhyme to the reason on this, but it transitions words. It uses a different word. It could have been, "and he who is unfaithful in a very little thing is also unfaithful in much." But it changes wording because I think it shows how much more important this is, or how important this idea is. It's not just like, hey, you're squandering an opportunity, But you are being a poor steward of the opportunities that God has given you and the life that he's given you and the choices that he's given you to make. So instead of using the word unfaithful, it uses the word unrighteous. It's like, hey, you are wrong for squandering these opportunities that God gives you. And so how you handle the little things in life and how you make yourself available to be used every day determines what opportunities will come your way and what you're going to do when they come your way, right? Because you see so many people who have these incredible opportunities and they go with it for about 15 seconds. And, you know, you get to a place in your life that your talent takes you, but your character can't sustain you. Right? So when we're faithful, slowly climbing up this mountain, and we celebrate the mountaintop, right? But the valley is what makes us who we are. The valley is what develops our character. The valley is what gives you the strength to stand on the mountaintop, right? But we like the mountaintop. We don't like the valley. Perspective, second thing. The first one is available. The second one is perspective. The second element of being wildly consistent is having the right perspective. And here's the thing about this. This is what's so funny about it. I don't doubt that every person in this room is smart enough to know the right things to do, the right things to think about, the right focus to have. Like, I don't doubt that any one of us is smart enough to know what the right perspective is, but we still struggle with having the right perspective, right? Because then you introduce our emotions. Psycho. We have crazy, crazy emotions. I do. I don't know if you do. I'm married. I know girls have crazy emotions. Gotcha. Listen, Shelly... How many of you guys have, do y'all have like an animal that you view yourself as? Anybody do this? For whatever reason, I've always thought, you know, if I were an animal, I'd be a lion. Because they're like, rah, right, so cool and powerful and stuff. And so I sent Shelly a text the other day. And I was like, hey, here's our family portrait. So my son, we call him a bear because he snores like a bear. Literally, he's like, oh. And then my daughter is a cheetah because she's super fast. And so I was like, what is Shelly? And so I found the unicorn emoji. Shelly is a unicorn. So true. Am I wrong? All right. So she's like, I hate you. The second element of being wildly consistent is having the right perspective. In other words, kind of another way to think about this, what's really important? Like, what is it that really, really matters, right? Is it the highlight moments? Is it these big opportunities, or these, you know, these huge things that happen in your life? Or is it all of the little opportunities that come your way? Is it all of the day in, day out things that you get to do that are really important? And so I think if we get this wrong, we won't be faithful and consistent because we don't value things that actually matter, right? You start to view people as leverage, right? You start to view people as a way for you to get where it is that you're trying to go. And you use people when you view things wrong. And you guys, you know how it is, right? When you use somebody, it just doesn't work out. And it's eventually you're going to be exposed for being that kind of person. And then hopefully you're all alone in your misery, because that's what you deserve when you treat people like that, right? Use things, not people. So I know one area that we do this in is in our pursuit of stuff. How many of you like things? Can we be honest in church? Like, how many of you this week have seen a commercial and you're like, I need that. I want that, right? Like, but wait, there's more. And if you buy one right now, you get two of them. And I don't know how I've made it this far in my life without one, but two, what am I going to, double life. I'm living forever. It's going to be awesome. Immortality. And we do this in our pursuit of stuff. Like, we're smart enough to know that thing, when we get it, the pleasure and enjoyment that it brings is going to last for about 15 seconds, maybe 16, maybe, like, if it's, like, that awesome. And it brings us, like, this little quick hit of satisfaction for just a moment. But we're smart enough to know that it doesn't last. But our perspective gets twisted because of that just that fleeting moment of pleasure, right? And so we want more and more things. And we love get-rich-quick schemes, right? We love the idea, wait, I can put in very little effort one time, and I'm going to get paid? Sign me up. Let's go. When we all honestly know that if you want to be successful, it's, hey, you got to go to work. And you got to keep going to work. And you got to keep going to work. And you stop buying so much stuff, and you put some of that money back in savings, and then over the course of a very long time, then you will be wealthy and successful. But we don't like that. We like to get rich quick schemes, right? We like to know that, hey, you can buy this stock. Listen, you can get in right now. And you got this one friend who's always dropping these things on you, right? You can get in right now, and listen, it's going to change your life. There's about to be a buyout. and you know what's going to happen? We're going to buy a yacht and an island. And look, we know better. We know better. But we still do it. Crazy. And we celebrate wealthy people who have no character. Like, I mean, how many times do we look at magazines and it's these people who have squillions of dollars and not an ounce of character? Right? And that's what we celebrate as a society. We know better. Even though we're smart enough to know better, we still get sucked into this perspective warp. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. This is really good, man. It says this: but godliness with contentment is great gain. You want to live a good life. You want to live a wild life, a different life, a unique life, one that actually matters. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and you ain't taking anything out. They don't hook U-Hauls or trailers to hearses. You know that, right? We can't take anything out of this world, but if we have food and we have clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and run into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Man, if you're ever struggling with like your perspective and you've got maybe this desire for things or materialism and it's like you start to find satisfaction in stuff, just read that, right? Be reminded that that's not the important thing. That's not something that's eternal, right? That's very temporal, like extremely temporal, like brief. It's the brevity of the satisfaction that we have with stuff is so short and meaningless in the grand scheme of things. But things that actually matter are the things that we should focus on. Having the wrong perspective when it comes to materialism, it has the same end for any and all of our misguided pursuits. That's an easy one to talk about. But what is it that you're kind of focusing on poorly? What is it that you have poor perspective on? Is it your relationships? Is it just your career? I don't know. Whatever it is for you, is it your relationship with God? Maybe you like God for what he can do for you, not for who he is. Like, maybe it's wrong perspective. And so when we focus on things the wrong way, you get the wrong answers, right? If you ask the wrong questions, you get the wrong answers. So when we're focusing on the wrong things, we soon learn that it's a moving target. You've seen this, right? We know that, like, hey, this is what I want to do with my life, and this is what, you know, I'm here for. I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to do these great things. And you find out, like, that when you do that or you accomplish that, you're still not content and you're still not happy, and it's like the target has moved. Even though you've put all of this effort into getting to this place in your life, and then what are you going to do? You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get bitter. You're going to get, you know, inoculated. You're going to be like, well, if I put in all this effort and I still don't feel satisfied, I'm just going to quit. And so when we have the wrong perspective, what it does is it causes us to give up. It causes us to not be consistent. It causes us to not be faithful. It causes us to be frustrated and disillusioned, right? You've all probably experienced this on some level. I know I have. Let me just be honest for a minute. When things don't go like I want them to go, like exactly like I want them to go, my first inclination is, man, forget that. I'm going to quit, right? But it's because I've got the wrong perspective in the moment, right? Or emotion is dictating my decisions. But if I know, hey, this is who I am, and this is where I'm going, and this is what I'm going to do. So every time I'm on my way and I'm trying to be faithful and consistent, if something doesn't go my way, it doesn't knock me off course. It may knock me down, but we get back up, right? Because we know where we're going and we know what we're doing. But if you've got the wrong perspective, then you're like, oh, I quit. Stupid. I'm not going to church anymore because they talked about me. Moving right along. The last one. So, availability, perspective, and the last one is this: tough. You got to be tough. I think, you know what we have done? We have emasculated Christianity to such a point. Like, I mean, think about this. And I love church, and I love our expression of church. But, like, what we do in church is, like, we come in, it's understand where I'm coming from. It's very effeminate. We come in, like, we're all huggy, and we're handsy, and we're, like, you know, loving on each other, and we sing songs. Like, we might as well have a campfire and kumbaya, right? And I love it. I love church. I think it's a beautiful expression of the church. It's this corporate opportunity to worship God, but it is very effeminate. We have emasculated Christianity. I think in order to be a man of God, let me talk to the men for a minute. If you want to be a man of God, you got to be tough. And this is what has happened to men with respect to Christianity. One thing doesn't go their way, they quit. one person doesn't believe what they believe, or one person, you know, disagrees with them, or they have one little tiff or one little falling out, they quit. They're not tough. They're sissies. And that's just horse stuff, right? Manure, scubala, right? And I just think that we need to be people who are tough. It's one of the most essential things in order to be wildly consistent is to be tough. If you're going to do anything with consistency over time, if you're going to be loyal, it will involve getting knocked down. But you got to be tough enough to get your butt back up. Like, man, you have no idea. Like, we had a conversation the other day. I was talking to a guy who's got to see kind of some of the inner workings of the church, and like people come and then like you don't do something extraordinary for them immediately, they leave the church and like you're the worst person in life and they hate your guts. And he was like, "You weren't kidding." I'm like, "Dude, people are freaking crazy." Not y'all, you're here, obviously. But this is what it boils down to. They're not tough. They're not tough. It's like somebody didn't cater to me. Somebody didn't give me exactly what I wanted. Somebody didn't call me. Somebody didn't show up when I was in the hospital. Look, you don't want me to show up in your hospital because that means like you're dying. Because I do not do the hospital thing very well. Like, I'm the last person that you want to see at the hospital because that means just pull the plug. It's over. It's done. And so we didn't go out of our way to do something for them when they make no contribution themselves. But that's just another story, because we're all about taking and we're not about contributing. But we're not going to talk about that right now. I think something that gets lost in translation somewhere along the way is Jesus wasn't just the meek and mild Lamb of God. He was. And what's so beautiful about this is, like, wherever you're at in your life and whatever you need from him, he has it. So, man, maybe you're at a place where you just need to know the love of a father. And he's this meek and mild lamb full of tenderness and compassion, right? Or maybe you're at a place where you need to know God is the Lion of Judah. Like, Jesus is the Lion of Judah, and he's powerful, and he's strong, and he's not emasculated, right? It's not just this effeminate God that we serve. And there's nothing wrong. Like, obviously, we need the balance of both, right? If you had a bunch of dudes running things, it would not be good. Church would be buck wild. And so you need both, but he's also just the strong and powerful God that we serve. Like, think about the things that Jesus went through, the resolve that he had to have in order to accomplish the things that he did. Look, if he weren't strong, if he wasn't tough, there's no way he would have followed through with the plan that God had for him. He would have quit as soon as I heard, if I'm Jesus, if I'm the Son of God, and I find out, hold up, you mean I got to go to the tree? To the cross, and they're going to do like nails in my, not me. But Jesus was tough. He understood the greater picture. He understood the greater plan. Hey, God was going to use him to save the rest of humanity. And so he willingly gave his life for us. That's tough, man. Like, sacrificing yourself for people who don't even care about you. That is tough. And we have a hard time sacrificing ourselves for people who do care about us. So can you imagine how tough he had to be? Let's just kind of be honest and do some rapid-fire looks at this. If you're going to be loyal to someone, you'll have to be tough enough to overcome conflict and adversity, right? We know this in relationships. Every relationship, I don't care how good it is, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be adversity. You are two unique individuals with different perspectives and different life experiences, and you're trying to make a relationship work. You're going to have conflict. Hello? It's just the way it works, right? So if you want to get through some of the bumps in the road, then you're going to have to be tough. You're going to have to suck it up sometimes. You're going to have to be wrong sometimes and accept the fact that you're wrong. Dudes, like, you can be wrong, and it's okay. It's okay to say I'm wrong. If you're going to be, you didn't like that one, right? If you're going to be faithful in your relationship with God, then you'll have to be tough enough to endure seasons of desert and doubt, right? Because look, let's be honest. I love the seasons in my life and the seasons in my relationship with God where it's like, man, I know, I feel his presence. I sense he's with me. I feel like I'm growing and I'm learning. And it's just like there are times in your life where it's like God is so with you and so real and his presence is so thick and so strong. And then there are other times it's like, are you there? Where are you? Where are you? I've got all these questions. I've got all these struggles. I've got all these doubts. I've got these things that I'm going through, and I don't even know if you're here, and I sure don't know if you care. Can we be honest, right? And if you're going to make it through those seasons, you got to be tough, man. Ain't no sissy making it through that season. I can't imagine a sissy making it through a desert, right? I imagine somebody who's got resolve, somebody who is tough, somebody who is strong, and even though they're beat down, and even though they're tired, and even though they're hungry, and even though they're thirsty, they're going to keep going, and they're going to keep going, and they're going to keep going. They're going to be faithful day in and day out, step after step after step, right? And you've got to be tough to do that. If you're going to be faithful in your relationship with God, you've got to be tough. And what's so cool about this, what I love about this, is that the most important thing about remembering where our strength comes from is that it's not your own, right? Like, on our own, we're doomed. We don't have a great deal of strength, and we don't have a great deal of resolve or toughness. We never have to go it alone. We serve a God who is the epitome of faithfulness and consistency, right? I love how in Romans, I think it's Romans chapter 1, it talks about all of creation essentially reveals the nature and character of God. And so when you wake up in the morning and you see the sun come up, God is faithful. God is consistent. And at night when you see the sun go down, God is faithful. God is consistent. And the next day, the sun comes up and the sun goes down. And the next day, the sun goes up and the sun comes down. That's the God that we serve. And it's a God who, and like Isaiah 40, 29 says this, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. That's where our toughness comes from. That's where our resolve and our strength comes from. It's this God who is faithful, who is the epitome of consistency, who day in and day out causes the sun to rise and causes the sun to set. And all of the elements and things that are necessary for life to exist, he is the epitome of faithfulness. And that is where our strength comes from. So if you're astute, you probably picked up on available. What does that start with? A. All right, good. The second one was perspective. That starts with P. Guys, I need a little bit more help here, right? And then the last one was tough, and that starts with, and if you put all those together, it spells, if you, APT. APT. And if you do these things, you will be apt to live a wildly consistent life. Struggle. APT. 1, 2, I don't know. Apt. Look, make yourself available. Be faithful in the little things. Be consistent day in and day out. Be a friend that can be counted on. Be an employee that can be counted on. Be a husband or a wife that can be counted on. Be a father or a mother or a son or a daughter that can be counted on. Be available. Have the right perspective. Don't get sucked into these stupid ideas that we have sometimes about the way things work. Like, we know what's right. Like, and we're smart enough to know God has given us a sense of wisdom and some discernment to know the right things to focus on. Focus on the right things. And lastly, be tough. Like, we don't need any more sissy Christian people running around screwing the whole thing up for the rest of us, right? We need Christians with some backbone, and some Christians with some biceps, and some Christians with some heart and some passion who don't quit when things get hard, and they don't stop going just because, somebody says something about them, and somebody says something about their mama, so they never going back to church again. Like, we don't need that. We need people who are tough and strong and courageous and bold and brave. That's what we need. That's what the world needs. That's what the world's looking for, is people who live like that. People who are wild. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, for your love for us. You want to talk about wild. A God who gave when he didn't have to give, who served when he didn't have to serve, who loved when he knew that he would receive nothing in return. You loved us anyway. And for that, God, I'm so thankful. We are so thankful. God, I pray that you would help us just to remember what really matters, like what is really important, that our perspective wouldn't be jaded or skewed by the world that we live in and maybe the things that other people put out there. God, but that our perspective would be, you are what matters. You are our highest calling, and the purpose in our heart that you've given us is the thing that matters more than any other thing. I pray that you would give us, God, this heart that wants to serve you, that we'd be available, that we would be faithful, that we would be good stewards of every opportunity that you give us, that we would be faithful in the little things when nobody's paying attention and nobody's watching and we're not going to get a pat on the back, God, that we would continue to be faithful there. so that we would have something to offer, we'd have something to bring to the table when the big opportunities do come. And lastly, God, I pray that you would help us to be tough. God, give us thick skin to not be, you know, knocked off course by what people say about us or what people think about us, but that ultimately, God, we do what you want us to do, and that's what matters most to us. You help us to love, to lead, to live how you would live, to do the things that you would do, to be the kind of people that bring you on. We love you so much, and it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.